With that school bell, you know it's time for the Warren County Radio Bible School. You'll want to get your Bible, and if you will, turn to the 70th Psalm. That's where we'll begin reading in just a moment. Now, what we're doing is we're in the middle of a series of lessons on great men and women of the Old Testament. And we're looking at Moses, the liberator and lawgiver. And I want to read to you right now Exodus chapter 14 and verse 21. And this has to do when Moses was there at the banks of the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army was behind them. And if you'll remember, Moses said, "Stand still and see the salvation of Jehovah." And then when Jehovah spoke, he told them to stretch forth thy rod and go forward. Well, we read in Exodus chapter 14 in verse 21 that Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and Jehovah caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all the night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Well, now that's part of what we're going to be looking at in more detail as we look at the life of Moses. Now, as you're turning to the 70th Psalm, that's the devotional reading for this lesson. And before we get there, I want to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. In this lesson, the golden text is found in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13. "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of Jehovah." But the devotional reading for this text is the 70th Psalm. It's just a psalm of 5 verses. It does have an inscription. It is for the chief musician, a psalm of David, to bring to remembrance. Let me read to you the 70th Psalm. It says, "Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Jehovah. Let them be put to shame and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and brought to dishonor that delight in my hurt. Let them be turned back by the reason of their shame. Let them say, Ah, ah. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, Let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Jehovah, make no tarrying." I think you'll see the significance of that devotional reading as it relates to this Sunday school lesson as we proceed with our study. Now, in our study, we're going to come across some geographical place names. And these are interesting names, and they are long lost, the exact location. Someday we may know exactly where these little villages were. But as the children of Israel left Egypt and went toward the Red Sea, it is said they came to a place called Pithahiroth, Migdol, and Baal-Zephon. Now those were close together and near where the Israelites encamped before the Red Sea. We read about them in Exodus chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, where it says, "Jehovah spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn back and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, before Baal-Zephon. Over against it shall ye encamp by the sea." We'll read about these places again in Numbers chapter 33, verses 7 and 8, where it says, "They journeyed from Etham and turned back unto Pith-Hahiroth, which is before Baal-zephon, and they encamped before Migdol, and they journeyed from before Hahiroth, and passed through the midst of the sea into the wilderness. And they went 3 days' journey in the wilderness of Etham, and encamped at Marah. Now, if we ever know those exact location of those places, we'll know where it was that the children of Israel camped as they had left the land of Egypt and came up to the borders of the Red Sea. But I want to read the introduction to this Sunday school lesson, and it is called By Faith. And it says this. This is what something Elam wrote many years ago in his Sunday school lessons. Faith was the mainstream and moving principle, the guiding star of Moses' life from his birth to his death. By the faith of his parents, Amram and Jochebed, Exodus 6:19-20, when he was born, he was hid 3 months, because they saw that he was a goodly child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments, Hebrews 11:23. The commandment was that all the male children born to the Israelites at that time should be destroyed. They were not afraid of the punishment for concealing him from the executioner when his mother could no longer hide him. She put him in the ark of bulrushes and placed the ark in the flags by the river's brink. And with an assurance born of faith, committed him to the keeping of God. Under this hallowed influence of faith, Moses' sister, Miriam, herself a child, stood afar off, watching him, and to learn what would become of her baby brother. We read it about that in Exodus 2:1-10. With wisdom surpassing one of her age, Miriam suggested to Pharaoh's daughter that she be allowed to call a Hebrew woman to nurse the child. This suggestion was accepted, and thus, in the providence of God, Moses was nursed and taught by his own mother, who, no doubt, instilled into his heart this great principle of faith. It was then that Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. During this time, he was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and works. That is, while a recognized Egyptian, or son of Pharaoh's daughter, when he was well nigh 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. It tells us in Acts 7:20-23, at which season Moses was born, and was exceeding fair, for he was nourished up 3 months in his father's house. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up, and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and works. But when he was well nigh 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. He knew the wealth and the glory of Egypt, and that his people were a set of slaves when he made his famous choice between Egypt and the cruel bondage of his race. But he determined to liberate them. So when he was grown up and able to weigh and decide matters for himself, he did 8 historic things of faith. 1, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. 2, he chose rather to share the ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. 3, he accounted the reproaches of Christ greater than the treasures of Egypt. 4, he looked unto the recompense of the reward. 5, he forsook Egypt. And 6, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. 7, he kept the Passover. And 8, he passed through the Red Sea. Hebrews 11:28-29. By faith also all of the Israelites passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were swallowed up. Through faith in God they did what he commanded. Thus all who in faith obey God now are saved by faith. People cannot be saved by faith in disobedience to God. Now number two. No one except God can make one thing a type of some future thing or erect monuments to future events. For 1500 years, the Passover commemorated the salvation of the firstborn of the Israelites in Egypt when the death angel passed over the land, until Christ, our Passover, died on the cross. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "Purge out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, even as ye are unleavened. For our Passover also hath been sacrificed, even Christ." For almost 2,000 years, the Lord's Supper has commemorated deliverance from sin and the grave through the body and blood of Christ. None but God could have foreseen and prearranged all this, so that one was the type of the other. None but God can erect monuments of events before they transpire. Human wisdom would not have selected the simple lamb and unleavened bread, and in the case of the Lord's Supper, the loaf and fruit of the vine, he would have selected something more enduring, time-deifying, and costly substances. But God's ways are not man's ways, Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men, besides children, and a mixture went up also with them, and flocks, and herds, and even very much cattle, Exodus 12, 37 and 38. For the time God made this covenant with Abraham, in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, until Galatians 3 and verse 8 through 17, until this deliverance was 430 years, Exodus 12 and verse 40. Let me read that to you in Galatians 3, verses 8 through 17. It says, "And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then they that are of the faith are blessed with the faithful Abraham. For as many as are the works of the work of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one who continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Now that no man is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but he that doeth them shall live in them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, and that the Gentiles might come the blessings of Abraham in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet when it hath been confirmed, no one can make it void or add thereunto. Now to Abraham were the promises spoken, and to his seed. He saith not to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now this I say, a covenant confirmed beforehand of God by law, which came 430 years afterward, doth not disannul, so as to make the promise of none effect. Well, later on, God said Abraham's seed would be afflicted 400 years, Genesis 15, 13, and Acts 7 and verse 8. And so also that's what came to pass, and that included the affliction that they endured while they dwelt in the land of Egypt. We'll continue there in the next class session.